You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Evening, everybody, and welcome to the Rangers Rabble. After the international break, we're finally on the cusp of another Rangers game. Joining me tonight is Wolf and Scott. How are you doing, boys? You all right?
Aye, not bad, Brian.
Yeah, fine, Brian.
Good man, good man. So, international break, Wolf. I know you're not a great big fan of it, but Patterson started the first game and made a good impression, and then maybe not the first half, but the second half he made a great impression, and then he's dropped for the second game. Didn't quite work that one out.
I'll take your word for it because I haven't seen any of it. although I have heard that's what happened. It was, I would always expect changes to be made if they were playing a lesser team in the second game, which I believe they were. It seems from what I can take, but all I've seen is the result and the fact they scored 4 minutes from the end last night. So it looks like all the changes nearly blew up in his face, but he got away with it, and he got away with it because he brought Patterson on. And within 2 minutes of coming on, Patterson put in a brilliant cross that really just was begging to get put in the net because I saw the goal last night, and it bounced off Dykes' shoulder and in. So you've got to think if Patterson was playing from the start or on earlier, it might have been a bit more comfortable for Scotland, but international football, I'm kind of making this up as I go along because all I've seen is the goals. That's all I've seen of any of it's the goals over the weekend. So maybe better.
Well, Scott. I was about to say, well, Scott's maybe got a bit more info on this. What did you think of the fiasco? Well, I wouldn't say fiasco, but the non-selection of Patterson last night.
I think it was probably like Wolf said, I thought he would change it because it was Faroes and he thought we'll get a 2-3 goal one here. So he brought in maybe Ryan Fraser for more attacking option, which didn't really work out because I thought Ryan Fraser struggled last night. I thought Scotland struggled in the whole. If Faroes had a decent striker up front, it could have been 3 or 4-0 before Scotland were even in the game. Against Israel and Scotland are probably not far apart in terms of standard-wise. So I thought Patterson didn't start the first half great. Second half, he came on again, but he wasn't the only player.
No.
I thought Scotland struggled in the first half against Israel. I thought he struggled with Israel's shape and just their strength and stuff. I just thought he struggled the way they played, but it kind of changed it a bit. But Nathan's going to do that. He's a young lad. He's still learning football in general. He's just come into the Rangers first team. He's just come into the Scotland setup, so he's going to have good games and bad games. And I thought it was quite harsh, the criticism he was getting. People saying he's not good enough because he had a bad first half. How many international players have a bad first half or a bad few games? Maybe only play 1 out of 10 for any national side, so it's quite hard, the criticism he was getting, because you can see he's willing, he's getting enthusiasm, he's a really good player, he's always going to improve, and you're better playing boys like that and playing somebody who's a bit older, maybe not going to be there in the next few years, because Scotland as a country have to build on at national level. But I only watched it, Brian, because I was in the house. If I was doing something else, I probably wouldn't have paid much attention to it either. But it's glad to see Nathan coming on and making a change. And I thought the boy Nesbitt has done well when he came on as well. So,
yeah.
But they got the points, but I thought Stevie Clark was lucky to get out of jail there.
I think, personally, Scott, that he kind of the reason Patterson probably dropped out was because he shoehorned Hanley back into the team. Do you thought that?
I thought he was poor Hanley as well. I thought Scotland's back defence was poor against Faroes. Like I said, if they had something that could put a ball in the net, I mean, see the chances they had in that first 25 minutes. It was actually laughable at times. You thought, this is the Faroes. But I know quite a lot of teams have struggled there recently. Even Denmark struggles. So they're not the whipping boys anymore, I don't think. I think they're improving. And it's countries like that are improving, and we seem to be standing still at times. That's the thing you worry about.
Yeah. I mean, as I say, Wolf, I know you're not a great international watcher, but you see the, I don't know if you've seen it, the comments from the Croatia coach about Borna, that he's not playing in a strong enough league or a strong enough team. I don't know what you might think of that.
Yeah, I did see something. I didn't read what the quotes were. He's not playing in a very strong league. I mean, that's a
harsh truth, isn't it? Yeah.
But the Scottish League is stronger than people give it credit for, because there's only really two teams in the league. I mean, it would do Scottish football a massive favour if the two teams from the second city could actually hold a challenge this year, rather than collapse on their arse at Christmas, which is probably what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, a wee result on Saturday, we're 4 points clear and we've not kicked them all this season.
Yeah.
You know, but if Hibs and Hearts can stay up sort of second and third, or thereabouts for majority of the season, that might do the reputation of the league some good. Because, well, I mean, nobody other than Rangers or Celtic have won the league since 1985. So obviously people think it's a dingy league, because, you know, even other leagues where it's like a one or two horse race, there is other teams come out the pack occasionally. I mean, in Spain, it was Real Madrid and Barcelona for years.
Yeah.
Atletico came in and won the league. And you've had Valencia nicking a title here and there. You know, in France, you had Lyon for years, and then there was a bit of Monaco, a bit of Marseille. But up here, it's always been the same two teams. And we know it's more competitive than people give it credit for. But all these foreigners just look in and go, it's them again. So obviously, the coach is going to say, well, it's not a very strong league. You know, because, I mean, a lot of the games as well against the smaller teams, they're looking at it, and you're getting 3, 4, 5 goals on a regular basis against some of these teams. That doesn't happen anywhere else.
No, no. Just to say as well, I've been asked by Martin, we're 18 likes away from 3,000 on YouTube. And you know what the magic 3,000 number means? That Martin's going to have to get a proper haircut. So please, folks, get liking the YouTube, get the Twitter and the Instagram and Facebook. As I say, we're only 18 away. I'm dying to see this haircut that he's going to get, because he's been slagging everybody else off. So it's going to be something else. But, yeah, Scott, I mean, this chat from the Croatia coach, I mean, it's he's obviously wanting to say it for his own benefit, but obviously it doesn't benefit us, does it?
I don't think he's the only coach. You hear other coaches from other countries saying that. I know Southgate mentioned that to a couple of the boys at English lads at Liverpool, it's not getting games and they maybe need to move or go on loan. I mean, I know the Holland coach done the same with Donny van der Beek at Man United, and it's just they want to see their players playing to give them justification for picking them for their country. And if they feel they're not playing regular football or they're not playing a high enough league, then they feel maybe might offer some advice. I don't mean it bad, but I just mean they should be playing in a higher league just to make yourself a better player. But Burnley's been playing in Europe and stuff for Rangers, so that's a good level for him as well. So I think it's quite a harsh on Burnley, but you hear that all again, Brian. But like I said to you earlier, you don't know if it's true or it's been misquoted in the foreign media. I'm not 100% sure, because sometimes the media just like to pull a story out of a rabbit hole.
And we've got a watcher from Los Angeles tonight. Hello, Dale. Hope you're well. Where else are we? CGM. Patterson was indeed honking, yes, in the first half. He certainly was, but he made up for it in the second half. Christy, where is this one? Christy was awful. Nesbitt should have started. Yeah, well, that's a good point. I was watching the Finland game yesterday, and who's the ex-Wolves striker that does the commentary, the co-commentary? He was praising Kamara, Wolf. I was quite pleased with that.
Oh, Kamara's a good player. I mean, he's the best player Finland's got by a country. I mean, I've not seen anything of Finland from what I've heard, and from the reports that you read. You know, I mean, he's the best player Finland's got by a country mile. So they're obviously going to bring him up. I mean, if he's half as good for Finland as he is for us, and granted, he's probably got better players around about when he plays with us, then he's, you know, they're going to have to talk him up because he's a bloody good player.
Yeah. Did you see the Finland game?
I didn't. But obviously, I know obviously Glenn Kamara. He's one of these guys. He's going to give you between a 6 and 8 out of 10 performance every week because he does a lot of the dirty work on the board that what he's doing. Like we've said, he's a really good player for us. So it's no surprise he's a really good player for Finland.
Yeah. When I read the article, I didn't see GM say it's not the foreign media that misquote the article. It's our media that twist it and cut it to paste and suit their own agenda. Well, It was from another site, but then the quote or the credit was given to the Daily Record. So there we go. But it wasn't. I didn't click on the actual Daily Record. It was another website. But yeah, once it was credit, I seen the credit and I went, "Oh, here we go." So
the Daily Record still a thing?
Well, this investigation's gone on for quite a while.
No.
I mean, their internet hits and everything else must just go through the floor because nobody's really touching them, are they? So we'll go on to the Hearts game now. Finally, we're back in SPL action on Saturday, Wolf, and it's a top of the table clash. So an unusual one, maybe.
Well, it's another top of the table clash. I mean, that's two games in a row, top of the table clashes. Just a pity there's been a 2 week break in between them. Particularly because I didn't get to the Hibs game and it broke my heart not being there. But yeah, I mean, obviously it's a bit of a battle in this house because my missus is a season ticket holder at Hearts. So I know all about them, and she's quite confident. You know, I mean, they've sold out their allocation.
Yeah,
good.
So there's going to be a real, real atmosphere at Ibrox on Saturday because if they sold out their allocation, 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. You know, that gives them plenty of time to get on the old tonic wine on the way across. You know, they like to do. You know, so yeah. It should be a cracking game. It should be a cracking atmosphere. But it's the same old with us. The Rangers turn up, Rangers win. Simple as that. Because we're a better team than them.
Yeah, Scott, I mean, as Wolf says, if we turn up, we should win quite comfortably. But it's Hearts.
It's Hearts and it's Rangers. We've not been firing on all cylinders this season. No. It's been a bits and bobs kind of start to the season, even though we're sitting top of the league, Brian, so there's not a lot to complain about, but as usual we do. I think if Rangers do show up, we win, but Hearts have been playing really well. They've set their stall out well. They've not conceded a lot of goals, but they're scoring goals. So it's going to be a really hard game, and I think Saturday it could go either way unless we do turn up. But one thing about Saturday, I'm not going to manage, obviously. I'm working on Saturday, so I can't even go. And I've just seen somebody say that it's not going to be in Rangers TV either. So I'll probably not have to listen to the old radio. But one thing I'm happy about is away fans getting back in, because I think we miss out at Ibrox with our atmosphere. And yeah. I don't mind it all being Rangers fans, but sometimes you like a wee contingent away fans just to put the atmosphere back in the stadium.
You agree with that,
Scott? If you can send your computer on a wee VPN holiday, you'll get it on Rangers TV. It's just not on Rangers TV in Scotland.
I'll do it. That's fine,
Mark.
I will do it.
So obviously we'll have to wait till we hear who's back from international duty, Wilf, and who's okay. But do you see much changes or team-wise, what do you think they'll go with?
Don't know. It's really, really difficult to second guess a gaffer. I mean, he's been forced to make that many changes this season. I mean, I heard earlier on today there's a chance that Kamar Roof might not be back until, well, he should be back on time, but that depends on all his flights and everything, because he's coming back from somewhere in South America. He's playing, is it Honduras or something like that, from Jamaica?
Yeah.
And it kicks off at 1 o'clock in the morning, so he might not be back until kind of late Friday. So He might be a doubt, certainly as a starter. But I don't know. I would expect McGregor to start, because you need your big players in a game like this. You really do. I mean, I'd expect McGregor to start. Right back's going to be interesting, because he had no qualms putting Patterson in against Hibs.
Yeah.
So will he do that against Hearts? I don't think so. I think he'll bring Tav back in. Yeah. I'd expect Bournemouth, if Bournemouth come through his international games okay, I'd expect him to be on the other side. I know there's a doubt over Liam Balogun because he went off for
Nigeria. Yeah.
In the week. But the good thing is, I believe he walked off, so the problem wasn't too serious. So hopefully he's back fit and firing. But the problem we've got with that, we need to consider, is if Balogun's are still doubtful, he can't play because we need him for a week on Thursday against Burnley.
Yeah. That's right, yeah. Well, folks, get your
we might have to go with Balogun.
Can get your predictions in for the team then, if you who you think's going to get in, folks. We'll just go on Scott again. Just who do you think's there? The I mean, as you say, international break. Who's coming back? We don't quite know yet. But do you think it'll change much?
It's surprising every time I'm trying to guess a starting lineup this season. I've not been close because somebody's out for some reason or another. Tavin Patterson's quite a win because I don't know. I don't think he will, but I think sometimes you're going to have to start the two of them. And I think if Balogun is out, I mean, who do you play next to Golson? Would you risk Simpson or Bassey? Or would you? I don't know. But I think I agree, Tav. I think Tav will start because Patterson's played two games, plus he's been travelling. Tav's been rested all week, so Tav will start. Up front, will Sakala play because he's been away on international duty, isn't he? So, Morelos, we are missing Ryan Kent really badly, I have to say. But I think the team's going to be... I like Davis will play, I think Camaro will play Lundstrom, but sometimes the three parts, not enough movement there because they're all very... I'm not saying similar, but they like to put the ball on the deck. Do you know what I mean? You need somebody from midfield busting forward. That's maybe where Hadji comes in, or even Aribo. So it'll be interesting because you probably know a bit more about Hearts than me do, Wolf. I mean, they've started the season really well, but they're scoring goals really in boys. Middle of the park, they're strong, special with that boy you're saying, favourite, and Benji. And the back, we suit it at the back, the Gordon and goals will make a lot of good saves. So Hearts are going to come to Ibrox very confident.
Yeah, well, you said your good lady's quite confident. I'm saying, well, if you think your good lady's quite confident,
she's quite cocky about her team. I think we're okay because she's actually going to be sitting in the club deck with me on Saturday, and every time she's started, now and then when they come visit, they've never scored, so we should be okay. But no, as Scott says, they have got some good players. I mean, boys have scored a lot of goals, but most of them are penalties, because I mean, they've had something like a dozen penalties this season, you know, which is absolutely ridiculous. You know, they're getting penalties. I mean, they're getting one and two penalties almost every game, which is...
I saw the Masons that are referees, Wolf.
but it absolutely is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Fortunately, he's scoring them all right, but he has a lot of...
He sounds like a robot.
I don't think we need to see what half the opposition. As I said, play it. Game.
Oh, Wolf.
Quick.
Wolf.
He's cutting away.
Oh, he's cutting away. Hold on. We'll start him again. So we were reading in the news this week that a certain manager was top of the betting this week for the Newcastle job. Scott, what did you make of that? Were you a bit fearful?
Not really, no, because I think Newcastle's wealth they've suddenly received, they're going to be linked with everybody at this moment in time. And unless Gerrard shows any sign that he'd be willing to go, then it's not even a possibility, because I don't think Newcastle's a step that you would go to just now, because... Even with all that money, it took Man City 3-4 seasons before they get into kind of any challenging mode. So I think Newcastle, they're not going to go and buy the top tier players at the moment. They'll buy probably second, a bit down, maybe somebody like Lingard or players like that level. You know what I mean? Somebody better than what they've got, but not top of the table. And same with managers, it'll be a stopgap until they can get somebody elite. I don't know what they're going to do because they have to watch their spending as well because of all the different UEFA stuff. So. And because teams know they've got money, they're going to be charging them a fortune for players. And also managers are going to be charging them a fortune for wages and stuff. So I think it'll be hard. I think Gerrard was obviously chuffed that he's linked to it because getting linked to any job as a in any walk of life, you're really thrilled because you must be doing something right. So, but I don't think it's a draw for him, because I think if he went down there, it's a poison chalice, isn't it? Even with money behind you. And if he failed, he's not going to be anywhere near his dream job anytime soon. So I think he'd rather stay at Rangers for another couple of seasons, get us in a league title or two, there'll be a cup, and see how it goes. But I'll be interested to see what happens down there, but we just have to wait and see. But I don't think Gerrard is the one that's going to go. I know I end up bringing in a foreign manager myself.
Yeah. Wolf, do you think Gerrard's staying, or do you think he'll be tempted? Wolf and his internet.
I know.
Here's one from Darren. He says, Newcastle need a manager with experience of dealing with decent funds and building a squad. Lampard also being mentioned would be a terrible shout. I've said for long enough, I think you're the same, Scott, that they need somebody with serious experience that's going to go in there and do the job, aren't they?
I mean, if I was in charge, one of the chaps I said on Twitter the other day is Graham Potter at Brighton. I think he's the only up-and-coming manager. He's very good tactically, and he keep Brighton playing really good football, and I think with a bit of money behind him, he could be a really shrewd move, because he's been at Swansea, he's been at Brighton, I think he managed abroad as well at some point, so he's got a lot of experience behind him now. But I don't think they'll go down that route either. I think they will bring in somebody that's probably in their 50s, 60s, and he's just a lot of experience to get him. But that's if they stay up, Brian, you're going to stay up.
Well, this is the danger, Ross. I mean, how are you doing? You all right?
I mean, you were talking about bringing somebody in their 50s and 60s there. I think you were talking about me, man.
No, we're just on to the old Gerrard chat about going to Newcastle. I mean, I don't see it as a goer, do you?
Nah, no, I don't think. I think he's got a job to finish here, get us into the Champions League next season, I believe. Don't get me wrong, if they're offering them unlimited transfer funds and a wage that we couldn't even match, then you never know. Everyone's got their prices, I say. Mm-hmm. But for me, I don't think in this instance his head will be thumbed by that.
No, I've got to agree with you, Ross. I think it's probably a few years too early for him, if at all. I mean, being at Rangers, dealing with the funds that we're dealing with, going down to them, I mean, the difference is just astronomical, isn't it?
I feel maybe the lure of a Steven Gerrard, that kind of global football icon, being the manager for them, if they're looking to splash the cash and they're trying to bring in superstars, the likes of, I don't know who they've been linked to, I don't really pay much attention to it, but if they're getting linked to like an Mbappe or a players of that ilk, maybe having Gerrard as a manager, a young, progressive, global football icon, they could maybe see that as something that would tempt players to go. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, there's John coming in there. Wolf never freezes another podcast. Do you notice that? But what was it up here? Who else would you trust for Rangers? I would only trust Michael Beale, but then probably Beale would want to go with Steven Gerrard, wouldn't he, Scott?
A lot of people who are good coaches are second in command. They don't want to be the main man, because it's happened to be a few people, especially what done this Alex Ferguson, they didn't really become the main man. They like the job of being behind the scenes and working. I think Michael Beale really enjoys what he does.
Yeah.
But to be the main manager, it's not the same role you're doing, because you have to manage and stuff like that. And some of these guys don't want to do that. They're just happy mixing, maintaining tactics and stuff like that. I don't want to be in shouting at guys and organising other things. So I think you need a certain ache about you to be a manager. Because I don't think Steven Gerrard spends all his days in the training pitch. I think he's at these other coaches. So you need a mixture of both. So I don't think Michael Beale will step up. I don't think it's like Walter way soon. I think Walter was always ready to step into the hot seat.
Yeah, here's a question Curry Muncher's coming in with. If we got the investment, who would you keep? Ross?
Can I just say, by the way, I'm no working the back shift tonight. What happened was Martin phoned me and said there was some comments coming in that there was three specky baldy triplets on the pod. They wanted to mix it up a wee bit, know what I mean? So here I am. Yeah, I've just came out. It looks as if I've got the same guy on three screens. So, I think we've got an array of very good young players at the club. When you look at Kent's and Hadji's and players like that, and we've got a very progressive young coaching staff. I believe there's a good blend. Brian, I believe that we've got a perfect blend of people there now at the club that are all looking to grow together and be in that environment together. Mm-hmm. I think that Gerard and his backroom staff have been very clever and very wise in the people they bring in. They don't just bring in a player because he's available. They bring in a player who's going to fit the profile of the team and fit the profile of what they're looking for as a maybe somebody in the dressing room as well.
I mean, that's the latest. Rodgers has been put the favourite now after Gerard either said he didn't want to go. Would he want to leave Leicester though, Scott?
Do you think he can take anything else with Leicester that he's already done? Because I think Leicester's got a shelf life as a job, I think, because the fans only not been happy recently because of performances. But can anybody who's a manager there repeat but winning the league a few years ago? It's very hard to go back to that, do you know what I mean? So I think Rodgers has done as best as he can there. So he goes to Newcastle. I don't know if he's a big name they want right enough, because I still think it's a big name they want. Somebody like Ross said, they like to bring in players. He's a big name to entice players sometimes.
Yeah. I think CGM's cracking the jokes tonight. Get Gattuso in for the banter.
Get Gattuso in with the cameo as his backroom staff. He's set a book for. Fucking loonies, man.
But, no, I mean, obviously, Ross, you weren't here for the Hearts game. How do you see that game going?
Listen, again, we're back to that. There's not one player in the Hearts team you would take over somebody that's going to start for Rangers at the weekend. So it's my philosophy for the season, mate. If we go out and play the Rangers way, then we'll win the game comfortably. But again, it's that we had a good win before the break, so it'll be a case of are we going to kick on for that, or are we going to still have that sluggish start? Stuff just no clicking. Interesting to see the team. Obviously, yeah. the better players being away on international, whether they'll come in or it'll be interesting. Right back. We parted someone last night for 5 minutes and be it's a goal. Yeah. So that's a headache for the gaffer, I think.
Well, I think Scott said earlier, Ross, that he didn't have any qualms of putting him in against Hibs, did he?
No. No, I think that there's going to come a time, probably not this season, but next season, where there's going to be a decision to make, because you've got a boy there who looks to me every bit as good as a Kieran Tierney looked at the same age coming through at Celtic. So there's loyalty to the captain who's turning 30, or else do you give the young guy who could make you a lot of money in the future? I think there's going to be a tough decision have to be made at the end of the season. But for now, I would imagine Tav will keep his position this season. But I think it's for another pod. But come the end of the season, there's a decision to be made there.
You've been paying John any money here?
Listen, I hope he's talking about looks talent, by the way, because I talk absolute shite.
I think you're right about Tav and Nathan Ross, but I would say at the moment in time Tav's ahead of Nathan. Yep. But next season Nathan probably will have to start more games. But that's an option for manager to say, do you sell Tav, which you might not get a lot of money back from, or then maybe Tav can move into a different role in the team because he has a kind of utility where he could play a few different positions. But if they did get offered a lot of money for Nathan in January or in the summer, would the club take it? That's a big point, because Nathan's now been playing with Scotland, so his name's out there. People know him in Rangers, and if Rangers got offered 10 or 50 million, would they take it? Would they knock it back? Because for a club like us, who's not loaded with cash, it's a big thing to say no.
I mean, what sort of sum of money, Ross, wouldn't be able to say no to?
Kieran Tierney money, 25 million-ish. Knowing about that, he's now playing international games. If he plays a season for us and wins a league, he's every. For me, natural raw ability, he's up there with Tierney, who's as much as, and you've got to remember as well that Tierney's hips are made out of Weetabix, you know what I mean? So Tierney went for £25 million and he's never played probably more than 35 games in a season. The young boy Patterson looks as if he's got that engine and that kind of durability that he might be able to. So for me, if he plays regular for Rangers, gets maybe Champions League appearances next year and he's done the Scotland national team, the sky's the limit for what we could ask for that wee guy.
Yeah, I mean, that comment there sums it kind of quite well up. They overplayed Tierney and look at him now. Yep. You know, he's hanging by a thread at times, isn't he, Scott?
Yeah, he is, but he has
a quality player.
Says, and you can see it with Arsenal as well. He stands out Arsenal at times. He becomes a good player, but I think Ross is spot on. If he played this season in the first team Rangers, we get into the Champions League and he played there, then you could expect a lot more money for him. But if you sell him just now, then you're not going to get that amount because he's not at the first team football under his belt or European level. But he's doing well with Scotland, so I'm hoping Ross actually does. I'm hoping Nathan doesn't move. Do you know what I mean? I hope Nathan can stay at Rangers and become the captain because I think he's got a potential. But we all know in football, money talks, and if he's got offered a good sum of money, like I said earlier, I don't think he'll knock it back.
Ross, this is always a position I've always thought was never in question, but over the last few weeks, we've realised that McGregor, we just don't know which way he's going to go. Do you see this as another game where McLaughlin's going to get a run, or is Greig's coming back?
McGregor will play for me. I like having played in goals myself, obviously not at that sort of level, but for me, you don't want to chop and change your goalies. No. But see, for me, see when we're playing against a Dundee United, a Dundee, a Livingston, teams like that, our goalie is essentially a sweeper.
Mm-hmm.
John McLaughlin will come out to the edge of the box, take the ball and start attacks, distribution. Does McGregor offer us that? I don't think so. But if you're looking for the bigger games, and I think that's why McGregor will always play against Celtic, always play is the big saves when you're under pressure. Is when, so I think at the weekend, McGregor will start. But in saying that, if you looked at the team lines and McLaughlin was playing, you wouldn't think were any weaker, if you know what I mean.
I wouldn't have put you up there down.
No.
Scott, would you go to the same next season, Brian? If McGregor doesn't play again next season, would you make McLaughlin your number one, or would you make McCrory? Would you go out for another experienced goalie? What would you do, Ross?
I'd sign the boy Clark. He's a free agent at the end of the season. I'd sign him for St Johnstone.
No, you never played at that level, you said.
Pal, talk me through Alan McGregor's hair, but it's blacker than Will's screen the new man. What's going on with that? A big man been dying?
What do you think, Scott?
I don't think you can get to McLaughlin. I think I don't know if he's got the moments in him like Alan had over the last few seasons. They saves it's helped his out in games. Alan McGregor can save his 10-12 points a season. I don't know if John McLaughlin's got an input every week. Obviously I'm gonna see enough of him to say like on a weekly basis, but I don't know deep down if he's got the standing for 89 minutes and pulling out a top save to keep us in the game. I don't know if John McLaughlin can do that over this season. I'm not sure. And Ross McCrory, or Robin McCrory, I can't remember his name, I don't know if he's going to be experienced enough to shove in his number one, because if you do that and he makes a few mistakes, his confidence will go down, the fans got on his back, and it might ruin the kid. So do you look for another goal? I mean, and I know Ross mentioned Xander, and it's a kind of tongue-in-cheek for Ross because it's his brother, but Xander is a good big goalkeeper, and when they pull a Mayfield between the sticks at Rangers, because every time he puts against us, he pulls off some of the saves, you think, my God, how did they get that? So I wouldn't bother me, Xander, between the sticks, because he's a man mountain to get past and he's a really good goalkeeper. But Alan McGregor will be a big miss, and I don't know if I would like John McLaughlin to be number one. That's all I'll be saying.
CGM's got a question for you, Ross.
All right.
Is the boy from St Johnstone any good?
See the boy for St Johnstone. I know that well, obviously we're on it. It's a running joke between me and Twitter, Xander Clark's brother and stuff. But you look at last year, quarterfinals, semi-finals, finals are both cup competitions. Aye. The big man made world class saves to keep, and St Johnstone won a double. He's for me, I'm biased, but he's a goalkeeper who is. Mm-hmm. A big game player, but in the big games, Europe this season, Galatasaray, good. I would hate him to play for Rangers because if they made a mistake, I'd have to give him all sorts of dogs abuse. You know?
On the podcast?
Oh, everywhere. Swing him about with a beard.
And I think our midfield, Scott, is going to be quite crucial against Hearts. Do you see Lundstrom playing as he's quite fresh with Davis playing internationals?
I think you have to play Lundstrom because the last few games he's probably been the standout in the middle of the park. He's played really well, so there's no point in playing him and dropping him. Just if he's playing well and his morale's up and his confidence is up, keep him in there and bring back. You don't know what Kamara and Davis are going to be like after international football. Hopefully they come back fine, but I would play Hadji in there with Lundstrom and somebody else, because I think we have to go attack against Hearts. Don't want too similar in the middle of the park. Hearts are quite strong in the middle, so if he can play the way we can, play him attack and we win, but if we struggle, then that's where you start to bite your nails, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
See, again, but their best player in the middle of the park's Haverty, who isn't good enough to get a contract here with us, do you know what I mean? So,
Well, it's the boy that's signing for Everton's quite good, isn't he? The boy that Benji, I can't remember his name. He's been playing decent this season, but Hearts are a decent side. They're not sitting up at the top of the league for no reason, do you know what I mean? But like Ross said and Will said earlier, Rangers play to the potential we've got. We know we get better players than we win, but it's been hard this season. We've had injuries, we've had COVID issues, we've had players missing for various other reasons. So if we can get a settled side, and that's the thing we need, is a settled side, because we had that last season, we've not had that this season. Then we won these games, but it's when we don't have a settled side, we go into these games with a bit of panic in us.
Yeah. I don't think there's going to be much doubt about who's up front, obviously, with Sakala being away on international duty. Morelos wasn't, so Ross, I think there's not really much debate up front, is there?
Nah, Greg Stewart all day long, about 20 years old. Stap on my booty. No, for me, Buff, I'm hoping that the last 2 weeks, Big Buff's been Big Boogieing rather than Big Boofieing.
Yes.
I hope he's been on the training ground getting a mini pre-season smashed into him. You've got to start with him leading the line. But again, it's that third midfielder. Is that third midfielder sitting in a line, or is that third midfielder sitting in behind the strikers and in between the two wingers? That's in that three.
The what, 4-2-3-1 sort of thing?
The 4-2-3, yeah. Aye. For me, if we play that, Lundstrom and Kamara as the two sitting.
Yeah.
And Hadji in behind Morelos is the best for me.
Mm-hmm.
What
about
Kent? Is he still nowhere near?
No, I don't think
so.
No.
It's a couple weeks away. Yeah. I did see somebody on Twitter hoping and praying that Jack would be on the bench this weekend, but
Jack's nowhere near. I've been first team ready.
Exactly. It's another hopeful sort of punt, but I mean, I don't see really up front being an issue. It's going to be Morelos all day long after the international. Sakala being away and playing wherever he was playing, Zambia.
Roof was away as well, wasn't
he? Roof was away. He was in Honduras or something like that. So, it's just going to be who else. Ariba was away in Nigeria as well. So, this is going to be a problem for us, I think, in January, because we've got four Africans playing, I think, for Nigeria, haven't we? Three at Nigeria, one at Zambia.
You better get the boots on, mate. You better get them looked out and polished.
I can hardly walk down the stairs, then.
But, we've got three at Nigeria with Balogun, yep. Aribo and
Bassi,
and then we've got, maybe if Zambia get through, we've got Sakala away. So I think the African Nations Cup's going to be a bit of a problem, Chandra Scott Ross, isn't it?
Yes. Pray for a bad winter. Get games all cancelled.
No outward flights.
I think, is the African Cup of Nations going ahead as planned with COVID restrictions and stuff like that? Is that?
I would imagine so. I've not seen anything else to say otherwise.
No.
So that then becomes an issue of looking at the league position, knowing that if you win the league, there's a £40 million carrot sitting at the end, entry into the Champions League group stages. And
yep.
come January, if you know that three or four of your players are going to be missing, and they're going to be missing over the crucial kind of winter period, then do you then go and spend 10, 15 million and speculate to accumulate?
Or you could get loans.
I think the loan market probably benefits. I don't have getting money to spend 10 million on us.
But if you're guaranteeing 40,
you can't guarantee anything, can you? If that doesn't happen, we're up Shit's Creek with a paddle.
I can guarantee you'd have been a miserable bastard, Scotty boy. What's happening, man?
What do you mean? I've been through the last 10 years like this. Oh, I don't want to go back down that road, I'm afraid.
No.
And also a wee update this week. We've seen guys that the Edmonds House is coming along. We've got a guy that's going to run it. Quite impressed, Scott?
Aye, it's always quite good. Hopefully, it's for different things, isn't it? It's not just for it. It's for different events. They're doing gigs and everything they're seeing on it. So hopefully it's quite good, because I remember going there years ago to the Player Year Dance seasonal events there, and it was really good. Though the Edmondson House, had the ticket office down the stairs at the bottom. So I really used to enjoy going up there. So hopefully this one the same when the museum are going to build in. So I did put money into it when they're asking for the money, like I think it was £150. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I've done that at the start of the season. So I'm looking forward to going and see what it's like once it's built. We need something like that at Ibrox. We need something when people do a tour of the stadium and stuff, like something like that they can go to as well, because it'll bring in more money to the club. More people want to come and look. Do you know what I mean? So you're just getting a tour of the stadium. You want other things to look at.
Yeah. We were just saying about a winter break. There is a winter break in Scotland this year, so we'll play the Old Firm on the 2nd of January and then we'll be off for the rest of January. So it's not the African Cup of Nations won't be that big of an issue in January. But Ross, did you see you liking the new Edmonds House stuff?
I can't wait to go and see the museum. It's an absolute scandal that a club our size hasn't had a modern museum up until now. Especially at Villa, we could have done it in a shoebox because we've only been a club for 10 years, I think. That'll not be much in a museum. That'll be bare. But no, in all seriousness, I think, as you say, revenue, the amount of tourists that come to Glasgow, if I'm a tourist in the city centre and there's an Ibrox Stadium tour, am I going to travel for the town centre I went to Govan for a stadium tour, see if there's a museum and I can see a bit of history and the Barcelona rails and
get someone eating stuff.
The stadium tour's brilliant. The stadium tour's brilliant, but I don't know if I was a tourist coming to Scotland for 3 days, if I'd go to Ibrox for the stadium tour and miss it on a day in town. Whereas if you've got the museum and, as you say, something to a place to eat and a tour of the stadium, then it makes a day of it rather than just coming across for a couple of hours.
Yeah, that's very true. Anybody going to this tomorrow?
I've got my QR code, but I've got a hospital first thing in the morning, so I'm hoping I'm away by the time it starts at 11 I can get there. So we'll see.
Are you surprised they're doing that, or is obviously it's a positive thing, but are you surprised they're doing it?
I'm surprised Castor's not got a new range of merchandise out for it. open training day session, but that's actually quite. They used to do it years ago, Brian, if you remember right. Mm-hmm. They used to do one every season, didn't they? Like the season like holders or something, and just all the kids and just to see the players train. So it's Easter break as well. So hopefully a lot of kids can manage along and see the players that they might not be able to go to every just because of difficulties with money or maybe getting tickets. So it's a good thing to do because it's good for young folk, because I think they're having, like, Chris Boyd's going to be up there tomorrow and they're going to have face painters and other stuff like that, and me things going on, so it's good to get the kids involved. Paint his face.
I hope we pay him the face painter.
Right.
But Ross,
you're getting double time tomorrow.
But it's a good positive step, this, Ross, isn't it? Seeing our open, I mean, there hasn't been one for years, has there?
No, it's brilliant. I always remember. I could be wrong. I'm saying I always remember. I vaguely remember when I was a wee guy going to one. Was it an Advocate team where they done a kind of Rangers 11 aye. Against 11?
Yeah, they did.
Nike, was it organised by Nike?
Aye.
Could have been.
And the likes of that, you were getting to see players that you've never seen before. And I remember, I quite like watching the youth teams and stuff to see that, having a wee look at players you've not seen. So you're talking about wee guys here coming in and getting to see some of the youth players that are training with the first team, and say, if you're a wee guy, a 7 or 8, and you're doing passing drills at your training, and then you go and see Rangers doing the same drills, do you know what I mean? I think it'll be good for the young ones. It's for the young ones, isn't it? Let's be honest. It's for the kids. That's why it's been scheduled during Easter, the October week.
The long lockdown, Ross.
I'm saying Easter because I'm looking at you two, it's looking like Easter eggs, man. They bald nonsense.
I'm not totally.
I can grow my hair back. Can you just cut?
Oh, no, mate. That's lovely. Do you know what that's the Nathan Young Coombs. That's what that is.
Oh, I won't even want to say
I was going to say sideshow Bob, but there we go. Alan Hutton's predicting a 17 million bid for Mr. Hadji, Scott.
From who?
Does it say who?
Alan Hutton must be in the know. That's a good amount of money, right enough. So,
is it worth it? Does it entice you, or is it not enough?
We don't want to let our best players go, Brian, like I said earlier, but money does speak. And I think if Rangers got offer £17 million, they could probably say, right, we could maybe invest some of this back into the team and some of the other avenues into the club finances. So I don't know. Unless it's, as this like happens, we'll have to wait and see. But Hadji, to me, you see it against Germany, he's a quality player. And sometimes he's that much quality in him and he sprains ahead of the player up here. That's how sometimes you think. He makes runs or he makes passes that maybe don't look great, but it's because he's a two or three steps ahead of everybody else. But international football, he stepped up recently, and if he can do that, and especially scoring against Germany, the goal he scored, that puts him on a world stage and people start to look at him seriously. And obviously with the name Hadji, they've always been looking at him anyway, but just when he starts doing stuff, he's going to be even in the same bracket. But there he is, there's Wolf back.
Right, guys, I think I've got this audio sorted.
Oh, Granda! What's happening, Granda?
Sorry, guys, I've no idea what I did. My audio just totally dropped out. I went on my phone, which is crap for StreamYard, but I missed them out of the laptop, and here we are. I'm back again, looking not quite as gorgeous as Ross, but here I am.
Not many do, Will. You better get your mess
on
your specs.
By the way, I owe you an apology about your Barnet, because I read a thing yesterday that hairdos like yours are now all the rage with the fashionable types, but they've got to go to the old style barbers because the new trendy hairdressers haven't got a clue how to do that.
Yes.
So I apologise.
My mum's pal comes and does it. Well, don't tell him, mate.
Well, there you go. So there you go. Anyway, enough of this nonsense.
We were just saying before you came on there, Wolf, just before that, the Edmondson House. Are you quite excited about that?
I was listening to you. I logged into YouTube to hear what you were saying. Yeah, I'm quite excited. Like Scott, I took the plunge and invested in a share of it. And as Ross said, it's an absolute scandal that we don't have a museum. I mean, I've been in club museums all over Europe. And I mean, even clubs like Werder Bremen, their museums like the size of your bathroom, but they've got one. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's something that we should have had years ago. And I know there was plans for it before all the first of it in 2012, because I actually saw the plans for it. It was supposed to be in the back of the Copeland stand in Copeland House on two floors there. It was going to be funded by the supporters, I believe. It was getting driven by Jim Hanna, who was still in situ at the time. It got as far as the plans were drawn up, because I've actually seen the plans for it and it looks really good. So, I mean, we are 10 years behind the game. I mean, when you consider that a club like Hearts, who, okay, they're the biggest club in the second city, but they've got a team. You know, and having been in it, it's quite good, but it's not particularly large, but it is quite good. So yeah. If a club like that can happen, we really, really desperately need one.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Ross, your haircut's getting a bit of a pounding, but I'll just leave you. You've obviously seen that, but you're used to it now, aren't you?
As I say, boys, it's good to have the option, you know what I mean? I say it every week, it's good to have the option.
You wouldn't imagine any of our players would be going down to the tune, would you, Scott?
I don't know. I'm not heard of anything down there, but it just depends. Hopefully not. Hopefully none of our players go anywhere until maybe a season or two, because I'm hoping what Ross says, we win the league and win the kind of Champions League. I think we will win the league. It's just when Ross mentioned earlier about the paying $50 million in January, I don't think the club would do that on the back of. I guarantee it's not 100%, even though we all think it is. It's just one of the things. But hopefully they don't go to Newcastle. But I think Newcastle are going to be like everybody, Brian. So I think just going to be like everybody. Anybody that pulls on a pair of football boots are going to be like me.
But I think going back to the Edmondson House thing, Ross, I think they did their sort of homework. They've not just built their own plans. They've went to other clubs and had a look at other museums, haven't they?
You would hope so. It's that learning from other people's mistakes and experiences in it. And same as Wilk says, there'll be some that are beautiful and modern, there'll be some that are old and tacky. So it's about doing your homework and finding out what seems to be the best. And again, you're looking outside your own market, aren't you? See, as much as you want Rangers fans to go to it, you want it to look appealing to your tourists and your people that are coming to Scotland for the weekend. For me, that's Rangers fans will go. See, as long as it's got red, white, and blue in it, Rangers fans will pay our money and we'll go and we'll view it. But people that are coming across the Europe or like the Asian tourists that you get that are coming across to take lovely pictures and do the sightseeing thing, they want to go to something that looks pretty and nice. For me.
You would like to think they would do the tour and then part of the tour is going to the museum at the end, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would imagine that would be the pack.
Well, Brian, you would imagine they'll do it the way that big clubs in Europe do it, that you start off in the museum. You know, if your tour's at 11 o'clock, you can turn up at 10 o'clock, spend an hour in the museum, do the tour. Yeah. Tours always finish in the souvenir shop, apart from ours. You know what I mean? But obviously, when New Edmonton House is built, the souvenir shop's going to be beside the museum. So you leave everybody, you start the tour in the museum, you tour the stadium, you take them out, finish them off in the superstore, give them the wee certificate or whatever for doing it, let them spend a few quid. If they want to go back in the museum, they go back in the museum. It's an absolute no-brainer, and it works because I've done similar tours all over Europe, and it absolutely works.
Yeah, I was about to say, you've had experience of it, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you do. That's how it works in Barcelona, that's how it works in Madrid, that's how they do it in Munich, that's how they do it everywhere, you know, apart from in Scotland. I mean, even you go to Chelsea or Arsenal, or I haven't done the Arsenal tour, but I've heard about it, you know, Man United is a prime example. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's their stadium tour and their museum is so popular that the hawkers that do the unofficial merchandise, they're outside their stadium every single day trying to sell stuff to the tourists. But I did the stadium tour a number of years ago on a Monday, and the first thing I saw when I went into the car park was a guy with a box full of scarves trying to sell the cheap souvenirs on a fucking Monday. You know what I mean? But that's what it's like because it's so popular. And as Ross said, you wouldn't go out the city centre just to go and have a look at a football stadium. Man United's not exactly in the city centre of Manchester, but people go because it's iconic, they do the tour, you've got the red cafe there, you can have something to eat. They make an absolute fortune out of it. And they do tours every day, every half an hour. At the moment, we do tours, 3 days a week?
Yeah.
4 a day, whatever it is. They should have the facility to, you know, if you're a tourist and you rock up in Glasgow, you go, let's go and visit Ibrox. Because if you're a football fan and you're visiting a city, I don't know about you guys, but I always go to the football stadiums. Always. It's just what you do as a football fan. Let's go to the stadium. If you've done your homework, you know if you can get a tour. If you haven't, you just rock up and say, look, what's the chances? Mm-hmm. You know? And they've got to have... When we did it 2 years ago when Rangers played in Rotterdam, we went over to Rotterdam early, went up to Sparta just on spec, and they've got a museum at Sparta, Rotterdam. And went into the reception, look, any chance, and one of their staff took us round.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Took us into the museum and showed us what he could. They don't do a stadium tour, but he showed us what he could and he took us into the museum and it was great. And it cost us, €5 each or something ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know? Because there's somebody there that could do it. We need to get on board with that bus because it's an absolute money maker.
Yeah. Scott, you're experienced in the old museums or are you?
Yeah, no, I've been to a few. I've been to, obviously, United, I've done Chelsea. I've done like some of the German clubs, Hamburg, I've done Borussia Mönchengladbach, and also one I really liked was Ajax. I thought Ajax was tremendous. That was a really good tour for Ajax Stadium. So, well, was right. I mean, it's people feel walks of life at go to them.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Just to see, and it gives you money because even if you're not a fan of the club, you buy something just to say, I've been in a stadium. I was always the one, I've got tons of mugs. Because every football season I go, I just buy a mug. Just because I like to see I've been there, do you know what I mean? I've got a mug. Yeah. Unless I don't like the team, I don't buy a mug. I've not got a Liverpool mug or a Celtic mug, so that's the only two teams I don't really like. But I'll always buy them. I'll just buy some of them. My son was younger, I used to buy him some, but now he's 19, he doesn't bother, so I'll pick up a mug or something. But it's just to see you go, because it's like you go to a new city, you do the tourist stuff, but as a football stadium, I'm like, well, if I like to go and see what it's like and stuff like that, so even if there's nothing there, I'll go and ask any chance of a wee peek inside, and usually do that for you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I did that, I remember I did that 2000 and whatever it was when we played Osasuna in Europe. Mm-hmm. I went over on we stayed in Vitoria, and their local team was Alves. So the game, I walked into the reception, the Spanish is non-existent, and I said to him, look, any chance I look at the ground? And the last season behind reception, the team's not here. I said, I want to see your team, I want to see your ground. And somebody came out from behind reception with a set of keys, let me in, I took some photos and left again. And they said, I said, look, that's it. And that was brilliant, because I asked the question, somebody there that would do it for me.
Yeah.
You know, we need to have something a bit more formalised than that. But even that, if it can be done. I mean, how many times you drive past Ibrox and the front door's locked, you know, the shutters are down during the day. Yeah. Shutters should never be down during the day, because people don't know. Every single day, all day.
Absolutely.
You can walk in and spend money.
But, so Ross, we were speaking about the tours there. Are you big up in the tours, or are you not too fussed about them? Like other grounds?
Too interested.
What you say about if I missed that?
Johnson don't do a tour, so you're not interested.
That's exactly it, mate. I've been to Old McDonald's Farm, right, enough. It's all farmers up there. Got an East Bend Farm Shop, mate. That's a tour up here. No, I've done a couple. Don't get me wrong. If I'm away for a Brexit, Barcelona or whatever, go and see the tour. I've been there a couple of times. Yeah. Say in Madrid. A lot of the time, I'm not really a traveller, to be honest. I maybe only go abroad once a year or whatever, but it's not as if there's many stadiums about here that you'd like to go and see a tour of, do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
so I think that is a big thing as well, because even in the east end of the city, I don't think they've got much of a stadium tour or anything like that either, so it would be the first one in Scotland, and it would be that you could maybe attract people from abroad to come and see.
They've got a museum inside Celtic.
It's like a cabinet, isn't it?
Is that the one with the big massive rug with a big lump in it, about that size?
Aye. I remember I was in there for a game years ago, a youth game, and I remember going through it, and it's actually not a bad size, but it's, I don't know if they do official tours for it, but I know it's something there with all the different stuff they've got, and a big rug's here, so I had to climb over it, took me about 4 days.
Oh, a big closet just full of skeletons.
The fact that we don't do tours all the time is a massive, it's a massive own goal. I mean, look at when that other lot of European games, it's never the same week as us or the same night as us if we're in the same tournament, right? And taking COVID out of the equation, and there's visiting fans allowed to come, they've maybe got 2,000 fans coming from whatever team they're playing, and they're football fans, so they're going to visit Ibrox, and they do, right? But if the game's on a Thursday, they can't get a tour because we don't do them. Or if the game's on a Tuesday, they can't get a tour because we don't do them. The fact that we don't facilitate that is absolutely mental. It's absolutely bonkers.
Mm-hmm. It is. Right, before we close tonight, I'll ask you all one more question. But just to remind everybody, it does help the pod to give us a like. It goes towards the Rangers Youth Foundation. So give us a like on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram, Facebook. Scotty boy, what do you think the score prediction on Saturday?
2-1. Rangers. Yeah.
Ross?
2-0.
2-0. Wilf?
4-0.
Right, I'll go in between. I'll go 3-0. So there we go. Right, guys, thanks for being here. Thanks to everybody who's been contributing and listening. Remember, give us a like, and hope everybody enjoys Saturday, and we'll see you soon. Cheers, guys.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.